appreciate what Lena said about her granddaughter. Sometimes, which reminds me, I should say, thank you for prayers for my granddaughter. She's been cleared from her complications with her concussion and is allowed to go back to participating in sports. But sometimes we need that encouragement that when we see something happen good from our prayer list, that it rebuilds our faith. So I appreciate Larry and Lena sharing that was about their granddaughter. Can you remember any advice that your parents told you, either your mother or father told you? One thing I guess I can remember about my dad was the work ethic. I've been in the workforce now for about 49 years, and basically I've only called in sick one day. But a work ethic. Now also, a couple hundred years ago, we had a man in our country by the name of Ben Franklin. Some of his sayings we might remember. Stitch in time saves nine. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. A penny saved is a penny earned. This morning, I'd like to go back about 2,600 years. The last time I was here a couple weeks ago, I had a lesson from the Old Testament. Again, we have a prophet named Haggai, the third book before the New Testament. In the first chapter, in verses 5 and 6, he has some wisdom that has lasted for 2,600 years instead of just maybe a lifetime or a couple hundred years. Haggai 1, 5, and 6. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. The prophet was talking to a generation that was coming back from captivity. They had been living under a different people, a different thought process, a different religion, different everything for quite a few years. A life more than one generation. And he told them, you sow much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink and you're not filled. You're clothed, but you're not warm. And you earn wages to put in a bag with holes. All five of these items are something that we deal with on a regular basis. So, what do you do on a daily basis? From day to day, what do you go about doing? We say living, but that's sowing. We eat 2-3 times a day, some of us. Some of us eat more than 2 or 3 times a day. But we have to eat every day. We drink. And if you were at the fair booth and looked at one of the questions that said, what is the greatest substance in our body? Well, anyway, it's water. About 60% of us is water. And we have to replenish that. So we drink. We are clothed. Our society requires us to wear clothing. There are some societies that don't. This new tribe that was found up in the Peruvian jungles, weren't concerned about clothing. We earn wages. We live in a global market that deals in money. Haggai was dealing in an era or a time when money was just beginning to be used. The first coins, they believe, were struck around 700 B.C., and Haggai's time is around 500. So, but anyway, they were not using coinage like we do. And even in Jesus' time, there was basically three types of coins: the Greek coins, the Roman coins, and the Jewish people were allowed to print their own temple money, if you want to call it. So there were three different kinds of money that are used in the New Testament. Well, today, how many different monetary systems are there? If we look at Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, is a familiar passage, a familiar parable, but we'll talk about sowing. And this was the first one that Haggai mentioned. Luke 8, 4 through 8. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went forth to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and as the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. Go out to sow. Some fell on the hardened place. Some fell on the rocks. Some fell on the thorns. But some fell on the good ground. But what was the seed that was being sown? Well, we drop down a couple verses into verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Are we sowing the seed of the word of God? What does Haggai have to say 2,600 years ago? What do you sow? What word are you sowing and bringing in little? In 2 Corinthians, we have a principle that Paul gives us, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Are we sowing the word of God sparingly as we go from day to day, or are we sowing it bountifully? Paul, in another passage, as he writes to the church in Galatia, Galatians chapter 6, another familiar passage, Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What are we sowing? Are we sowing to the flesh, or are we sowing to the Spirit? Haggai told his people, they bring in little from what they had sown. They had forgotten. They had been in captivity for a number of years, and they had forgotten what God had given them. Today, are we sowing spiritual food bountifully? Or are we sowing to the flesh bountifully? What do we eat? We're not talking about physical food here. But what do we eat, as Haggai mentioned? 2 Timothy, these are all familiar passages, just used in a different context. But in 2 Timothy 2:15, we read, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then over in the first chapter, or the first book of Timothy, chapter 4, verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. What are we eating? Are we eating God's Word, studying it, and helping others and strengthening ourselves? In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells the church there, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether ye therefore eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What are we eating? What are we digesting? What books do we read? Things like that. What do we watch on our TV? What movies do we go to? What type of entertainment do we go to? What are we eating towards God? In Acts 2:42, the early church, or Acts 2:46, excuse me, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And what we take in, are we doing with singleness of purpose and with gladness in our heart? What about drinking? What are we filled with? What do we replenish our body with? In Matthew 25, verse 35, Jesus states, for I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. And down in verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto him, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done this unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Another passage that we're familiar with is in Mark 9:4, again where Jesus is speaking to us here. And that is not the right chapter. It mentions, anyway, if we offer a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, we have helped that person. Haggai's people in his time had been drinking and being fed and watered from what their captors were. They were a pagan people. They did not believe in God. And Haggai was telling these people, you need to get it straightened out. Because he is bringing his people back to help build the temple and rebuild Jerusalem. And he is dealing with a people who have been in captivity and had not been doing God's Word. What about the clothing? What was he referring to there? In our day and age, we're caught up in a clothing frenzy. We're caught up with a business or a group of businesses that feed on, I can't be seen in the same outfit twice. How many pairs of shoes do you have in your closet? My outfit doesn't match. I don't have anything to wear. That's not the type of clothing Haggai was referring to. He was referring to the same as Paul was in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What type of clothing is he talking about here? Talking about truth. Do we have on the girdle of truth? Is our daily lives truthful? The breastplate of righteousness. Do we do things that are right? Do we have a righteousness train of thought? Is our mind geared for righteousness? Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Are our feet ready to go? Just in the last week, around here with members of our congregation, the flower beds have been weeded, the bathrooms have been cleaned. A person who needed help was given help. That's just in one week with just the group of people that we have here. Are our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel? Our breastplate of the shield of faith. Do we have a strong faith? Is our faith holding us together? Is it quenching all the fiery darts that the devil throws at it? Is it part of our clothing? Do we have the sword, which is the word of God? Do we use it properly? Do we help others with it? Do we help ourselves by reading it? And then all of these put together with prayer. Prayer is that, sometimes we see the sign that says it's the greatest wireless connection. We don't have to worry about anybody coming in and cutting down our connection. Prayer keeps it all together. Haggai was trying in his day to bring God's people back to build the temple and to worship God. Today, are we out trying to do that? The idea 2,600 years ago that Haggai was telling his people, the same is for us today. The last one that he mentions, that we earn wages and put them in a bag with holes in it. Why do we work? On Wednesday night, we've been talking about contentment, and there was a passage that we have read many, many times. But why do we work? Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's a different concept. We work so that someone else has something to use. In the Old Testament book of Proverbs, and Solomon is writing this many, many years before Christ, even before Haggai. In Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34, I went by the field of a slothful and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instructions. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. A little folding of the hands in that. The picture that Solomon is portraying here is a person who did not work. A bag with holes. An interesting illustration. In our day and age, how many people do we know that have worked and worked, and they seem to be spinning their wheels because they can't get themselves out of the hole of debt that they put themselves in? Even though they did not have coins and monetary dollar bills or paper money or coins back then, it was still the idea that they were working and getting nowhere. And the reason for that was they had the wrong concept. When Paul says that we work to help others, that was a very strange concept back in the first century. It's not much differently strange today. How many of us, you know, have worked just for ourselves until we learn that when we help others, we find out we help ourselves? And that principle was back with Haggai 2,600 years ago. It was back with Paul 2,000 years ago. In Haggai's day, the Lord spake to him to let the people know that when you sow, if you sow the word of God, they were not doing that and they weren't getting very much. But today, we sow the word of God and we can see the results. When we eat, yes, we may have to eat two or three times a day, but when we do God's will and feed on His word, then we are taken care of. We drink, and we are filled with God's word and God's blessings. And we're clothed. And we're clothed in the labor of love, then we will be warm. And when we earn our wages, we help others, we don't put them in a bag with holes. So Haggai was trying to get his people to understand when they came back to put their trust in God. Then you're sowing, you're eating, you're drinking, you're clothing, and your wages will be worthwhile. 2,600 years from Haggai, the message is still there for us today. When we do it God's way, when we sow God's word, it will come back. When we eat and drink God's word, we will be filled and strengthened. And when we're clothed with His method, we will stay warm. And when we do earn wages, we don't put them in bag with holes, but we help others. This morning, as Haggai has spoken to us, through the Old Testament, yes, but spoken to us today, the song that Carl has picked, Jesus calls us from the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. We live in a very restless time. It's interesting as what is unfolding in the last 2 or 3 days. The people who have been marooned on this mountain in northern Iraq, they gathered there because of their beliefs. They were being persecuted, yes. But they held together and they stayed together because they believed in their system, even though they were being severely persecuted. Today, even though we're many miles away, we come together, not very many this morning in this assembly, but we come together because of the Lord and because of His teaching and because what Haggai has told us, what happened, and as Paul has told us, is happening. So when Jesus calls us today, it's above all the tumult that's going on, and He can and will help us. So this morning, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, Jesus is calling you to come.